one or the other, and it'll be fun. Well, it's been a while since I've seen you guys. Ever since I've seen you guys last, I think I told you guys me and my wife are expecting. And so I've been doing the diligence of a good husband and what the Lord has commanded, and I've been working on the two B's. And that's the baby beard and the baby belly. So both of these I've been diligently putting time into, and just work with me. And I was told whenever I got here was, hey, Ovi, do us a favor, don't walk too much. So if I start moving too much, I apologize back there. I've been praying about what exactly God wanted me to unpack with you guys today. And as I was praying about it, there was a direction I knew I wanted to go. But how to get there was kind of like, all right, God, what's the good lead-in? And it was just this past week and a half that I was listening to a teaching, and they said something, a phrase, and it's from Psalms 103. And that phrase just clicked into my heart, okay? And I want to share that with you today. And I want to use this as our diving board into something that I think we all want to see happen in our lives, and that is we all want to see God's promises fulfilled, correct? Yeah? You guys can talk back. I like noise, right? Okay. We all want to see God's promises revealed. We all hope for that. I mean, the ideal life of a believer isn't one that's like, oh, Jesus, save me, and then poor pitiful me, and finally one day I'll go to heaven. But the ideal life of a believer is one that heaven and earth is coming alive. Sorry, the heaven on earth in us is being expressed and coming alive all around in everything that we do. That is the life of a believer. It's not one that we go through this world and, whoa, poor pitiful me, and we're struggling. No, we are overcomers. We are people that are to be the head and not the tail. But there are too many times in this world, in this culture, in our lives, in our circumstances, in our emotions, that we feel like we're just less than, correct? I mean, let's be honest. I do. There are times in my everyday that I think, God, where are you at? What is going on? And as great as spiritual principles and reading the Word and listening to teachings and worship music is, and it enlivens our spirit, there's still just something that I think has been missing in me that it wasn't until recently has really began to, I feel like, equip me to really see the overcoming exposed in my life versus the struggle. Versus the hardships, versus the looking at every circumstance situation thinking, where are you at, or when is that one day going to happen, or yeah, God, I'm holding on to the promises. And yes, I am. And yes, we as a people should be and hopefully are, and not negating struggles or anything that we go through. But that we as believers are to be equipped to look at every circumstance we face and to see God's reality in it, not the reality of the frustration, the anger, the disappointment, and the pain. So in this scripture, Psalms 103, verse 7, it says, simply says this: He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the son of Israel. And this just grabbed me. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the sons of Israel. And the psalm continues on. It's a beautiful psalm, a very beautiful psalm. But out of this just verse 7 here, God grabbed me and He said, why do you think that is? Why did Moses know His ways and Israel knew His acts? And so I started praying about it, thinking about it, chewing on it, and He took me back and He started to show me how just the interaction that Moses had versus the people of Israel had. You know, Moses has this interaction with God in a burning bush, and God tells him, you know, take your shoes off, man, you're on holy ground. And Moses stays and is inquisitive and is asking and is dialoguing with God. God shows up to Israel on the mountain. He puts a parameter, a holy area. Don't touch, don't do. But what do the people do? This is too much for us. Moses, you go on our behalf. See, the people of Israel versus Moses, Moses would have these interactions that would unpack the character of God with him. Israel would have these interactions with God because they wanted to see the move, the hand, the operation of God, but they were never truly interested in getting to know the character of God. Everything God did was an invitation for Israel themselves to step in and get to know who God is as a people. But what were they always doing? They were complaining not having enough. They were complaining about what lack was going on, or, you know, well, these people over here and the Joneses over there. Well, back in Egypt, you know, things were at least where we knew when supper was going to be served. And yet, what God was calling to them was saying, listen, I want you to know me. In Deuteronomy, it talks about that God takes them on this journey so that they can be exposed to the things of their heart. Because God wants them to see what's truly inside so that they can say, you know what, if that's what's there, I give this to you and I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you because, look, we've been on this journey and our shoes haven't worn out. Our clothes don't even have holes in them. You've always provided food for us. You've always taken care of us. You've always been here for us. And God continues to show his character to his people, but his people continue to look only to his acts and not to his ways. They choose not to look at the full picture of who God is, and that if God have started something with them, he's going to take them to the end of it. But yet, out of their own fears, their own insecurities, what we call an orphan spirit, they put themselves in a place that says, you know what, I don't know if I can truly trust you, so show me. Show me, prove to me. And as I was thinking through this, excuse my beard, it's a little hairy. All right. As I was thinking through this, God really started kind of... Can we edit this out? Sorry, Mark. Mark's going to tell me to come shave next time. It bothers me. You guys probably don't care, but I'm sitting here. All right, so as I was thinking through this, God started asking me, he said, Ovi, where do you think you land in this? Are you a ways man or are you an acts man? And I said, well, I want to be a ways man, God. Is that the right answer? He says, no, but truly, what are you? And I realized that there are many things in my life and in my spiritual walk that I have been totally an acts man. Because I want to see. I need to see. God, will you do? Where are you at? Why am I having to still deal with this? Why is this door not open? Will you please do X, Y, and Z? And God has said over and over again inside of me, is like, will you trust me? Will you trust me? And I used to think that was like one of those blind, you know, tests where you get on top of a chair and you lean back and somebody's supposed to catch you, right? You know, will you trust me like that? But really what I've learned is that God is saying, will you believe in my character? Am I who I say I am? Am I the God that you sing about on Sunday? Well, yeah, that's the head answer. But what does your heart really do every day? That's a question for you. Be honest with yourself today. A lot of times in my head, I know the right thing is that, yes, God is not going to take me out here to just let me fail. He's not going to bring me so far that he's not going to continue to do the things that his word promises in my heart and in my life. He is not going to lead me out into an area and then pull the rug out from underneath me. However, my heart has a hard time believing that. My soul, my mind, my will, my emotions begin to get so just disrupted through process that a lot of times when I'm going through this, I forget to look at exactly how the character of God is sustaining me, that I look at the things that I don't have and I think, why aren't you acting right now on my behalf? And the whole time God is saying, I am, because I'm developing in you the belief and the knowing that I will never forsake or leave you. I will never bring you to a place that there is not an opportunity for you to be stronger and to walk out by my power, by my authority. But yet too many times I get stuck on being a person that is looking for the acts of God versus trusting the ways of God. Moses had this incredible just thing about him where as he continued to lead Israel, he just continued to meet with God in certain areas where we know he goes on Sinai, he has experiences up there, brings down the commandments. We also know that they set up a tent. Moses goes there, his face is just shining so much that they're like, dude, you got to put on a veil. You know, like you are too strange, you're glowing too much, it's hard to look at you. You know, we don't have sunglasses invented yet, so you got to wear the veil. And so Moses had these interactions with God, and I look at that and I think, oh, how holy that was. But really, it's a man who is experiencing the ways of God and just resting in, this is the goodness, this is his character. He knew God. David, who writes this psalm, talks about being after a man after God's heart. Well, what does that mean? It means that he learned to trust in the character of God. I used to think, oh, he just loved God so much. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. It's the fact that he knew, even through tough circumstances, God was working all things out according to his purpose and his plan. We see that with his son Absalom. When everything happened and you know, his son's overthrowing him as the next king of Israel and has everything lined up, what does David do? He says, it's in God's hands. This is God's kingdom, not mine. How do you do that? I would be like, God, where's the axe? Bring down fire. Do something. Protect what you gave me. Instead, he's like, if this is God's will, it's God's will. What would your life look like if you were able to live that type of peace out every single day? What would happen if you looked at every circumstance and said, you know what, God, what are you saying over this? All right, let's do it. I trust you. That doesn't mean that we're not good stewards with what he tells us to do. But it means that we first are being led according to his design, not our emotions, not our thoughts, our wants, or our assumptions. This is hard for me because I like to handle things. It's kind of my thing, right? Something has to, oh, you handle it. He's got this. And it's very, very difficult to stop and say, God, what are you saying to do right now? Do I even do anything with this situation or not? And the cost is high in doing that. The cost is very high because a lot of times whenever we are seeking God first, things that are counter the Word of God create friction. And that could be circumstances or situations, you know, like you're doing your job and you're trying to do something and you know God has told you to handle it a certain way, it just seems to not be working. It can also be in relationships, though. God might really lead, and there might be confirmation from people around you where the leading and direction of God is. And there's going to be people that create friction because they just cannot understand. They don't know. They don't understand God how you understand him. But if you're hearing the leading of God, if the accountability is there, and there's confirmation in the Word of God, the payoff is worth it, no matter the friction we face. So Moses is this great guy that we see that knew the ways of God, right? That's great. But how do we know the ways of God? How do we do it? All right, let's pray and we're done. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. I use that as a second to move my mic. How do we know the ways of God? There's a set in Scripture in the book of Joshua that, for me, has been life-changing. It's life-changing up here, and it's life-changing in here. Now, if I'm honest with you, do I do it all the time? No. I wish I did. I mean that. I'm trying to develop the habits to be this person. And I believe that every time that I actually exercise this, I have seen the hand of God move incredibly in my life. Because what it does is it begins to allow me to know the ways of God. And anybody can do it. Are you ready? Okay. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 says this. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. So be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Who likes that? Who likes that, right? Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This set of scripture is one that has challenged me, that has rocked me, that has convicted me, and that every day when I wake up and I don't act on this, I know I'm missing out on something. This set of scripture is truly God's invitation to Joshua to have to know the ways like Moses did. Let me say that again. This invitation to Joshua is from God for Joshua to experience and know the ways as Moses did. But you know what? In the book of Joshua, Joshua's skin doesn't glow. Did he not do it right? No, not at all. Different people, different experiences, different understandings, different interactions with God. So Joshua is invited to be successful. Joshua is invited to be strong and courageous. Joshua is invited to get to know God. But how? Well, Scripture says right here that if you will be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, and do not turn to the right or left of it, so that you may have success wherever you go. Now, if I read that right now, what's the first thing that clicks in your head? First thing that clicked in my head, let me say it like that, is law. Oh, the law. There's a lot of things to do and not do in the Bible, isn't there? One of the coolest things I ever heard was that if you replace in the Old Testament the word law with the Word of God, it really begins to increase the understanding of what was being said then. Because the law at the time is the written Word of God. It's what they had. Well, what's happened since the book of Joshua? God said a lot more, didn't he? Right? He opened up understanding and maturity to us, to his character, more and more and more, until we get to Jesus, who's the fullness of that expression. So we know that when we read scripture right here, well, we can replace the word law, which is just the sections of do's and don'ts, right, to the Word of God, which is a lot more personable, a lot more understanding, because we have a bigger picture of what was being unpacked here with the people. It's a lot like maturity. You know, I got a baby on the way, but people who have kids, you probably know how you deal with a 2-year-old is a lot different than how you deal with an 18-year-old, right? Maybe sometimes. Sometimes not. Hopefully it is. But the rules are different. A 2-year-old, you want to put them to bed by 8 o'clock. An 18, 16, 17-year-old, you can say, okay, listen, just don't stay up all night, right? Because you hope that they've matured to exercise discipline. The scripture's the same with us. When we come to Christ, yeah, we need to start as children with laws, with set parameters and boundaries. But as you mature, it goes from all the do's and don'ts to love God, love people. And everything flows out of that because you've matured to that. I know I don't want to go touch a hot stove because I know it's hot and it's going to burn my hand. A mature Christian knows, I know that I don't need to go over and look these things up or watch these certain things or read these certain things, because that gossip, that picture, these thoughts opens up something in me that I'm not going to take on. However, an immature Christian, a new Christian, a teenage Christian, they might need to have that strict boundaries of, listen, this is why you don't do it, so just stay away. Maturity. For us as believers today, we can look at this scripture and we can say, you know, be careful to do according to all the Word of God commands you to do. All that Christ says for you to do. Do not turn from the right or to the left of it, so that you may have success wherever you go. So what brings success to our life? The Word of God. Not 10 steps to a better tomorrow, but the Word of God. Okay? Next thing is this, is that this book of the law, the Word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. I don't want you going through Leviticus and thinking you got to learn every rule and regulation that's in Leviticus, okay? What I do want you to do is I want you to take the Word of God, what Jesus in whole is saying, the fullness of the gospel in your life, meditate on it. Meditate on who He is, on what Scripture says, what the Psalm says. Now, meditate can be a little bit tricky, okay? Because the world system of meditation is, it's either intellectual, so fill your head with a lot of thoughts and rules and regulations or concepts and ideas, or it's empty everything out and just be an empty shell. Scripture uses the word meditate, and the actual Hebrew word there is to growl like a lion who has caught its prey, or coo like a dove. Who's ever done that in meditation? But who's done that in worship? Who's been in worship and all of a sudden your spirit says, and Lord, your name is holy, right? You start, something inside of you just begins to roar like a lion. And then all of a sudden the spirit moves and you go, and your name is great. And you coo like a dove. Scriptural meditation is to allow your spirit to roar with the Word of God and to coo the sweetness of His presence. And it's not about how much Scripture you read. It's about taking the Scripture He puts on your heart and saying it over and over and over again. Jewish people, Hasidic Jews still practice this, but this was practiced, it was actually typical of the Pharisees and throughout Jesus' time, throughout Paul's time. It's actually believed that Paul was doing this whenever he fell off his horse on the way to take on the Christians. But it's called davening, okay? And what davening was, if you've ever seen a picture of the Wailing Wall, you'll see Hasidic Jews doing this, rocking back and forth, saying Scripture over and over again, okay? And what they're doing is they take a set of Scripture and they are davening. That davening is they're letting everything around them fade away. No external images, people, words, anything is going to distract them from the Scripture that they're focused on. So they allow their body to respond, their souls to focus in on the Word of God, and just to say it over and over again, so anything that could distract is just gone and they're focused in on the Scripture. And in this, they would begin to picture what the words say. So if they're reading Isaiah and they're reading the section of Scripture of Isaiah's interaction with the Holy of Holies and experiencing God, they would read that Scripture and they begin to picture themselves there. But they would be doing it as meditation of Scripture. I believe that God is calling us to be a people once again that learn how to meditate on the Word, so that our souls and our spirits begin to roar like lions and coo like doves. Because what happens is this, is that it unlocks something in you. It unlocks something in me. The moments I have done this, he's taken me to a psalm and he says, you know, Ovi, this is the little bit I want you to take, is that you are a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your roots grow deep. Your leaves do not wither, and you produce in the right season. Now think about that. I have said that scripture many times in my life, but when I begin to just meditate on it, that I am like a tree planted firmly by the rivers of water. My roots grow deep. My leaves do not wither. And in the right season, I produce. And I begin to say that over and over again. And what happens is that becomes a part of me. Because what it is that's the character of God that I am saying over and over and over and over again, so that I will believe what it says is my reality and my truth. And you know what? Do I feel like a tree planted by the rivers of water? No, I feel like I'm like over in the Sahara Desert, just really needing some water. But yet Scripture says, I am this. And what happens is all of a sudden everything shifts. And after that 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, I all of a sudden step out and know that, wow, I am this. And my day is completely different because my perspective has changed. I'm not just looking for the acts of God so that he proves to me that I am in his will, or that I'm doing the right thing, or I'm acting the right way. I now know the ways of God, so it doesn't matter. I'm connected with him, and I don't know how, and it might not be today, but it is going to happen. Because I am like a tree planted by the edge of the river. My roots are so deep that it doesn't matter if there's drought going on. You know where I'm at? I'm by the source. My leaves never wither because I'm by the source. And there's going to be this right moment in time, and I will have produce. Life will come out of where I'm at and what I'm doing. This is my word that I've learned through meditation. And when I get frustrated and angry and upset, and it feels like everything is drying up around me, and I think, where are you at? God says, meditate. Go back to it. Because you're getting to where you want to see my acts. I need you to know my ways. His ways aren't our ways, are they? Man, I wish they were. It'd be so much easier. But you know, the truth is we used to do things his way, and then we made a choice. We're faced with that choice every day. Are we going to do it his way or your way? If you're like me, you've gone through a lot of situations where you've done it your way, and it just seems not to work. It's a lot of headache, isn't it? And his way is not easy, but his way is true. His way brings us to a place where, like we can continue reading in Joshua, is that it allows us, as we meditate on his word, meaning as we allow it to roar inside of us and bring peace. As we do these things, we will make our way prosperous and you will have success. It empowers us to go through your life to then take the promises that God has in store for you. I'm going to say that again. This is not an invitation for you to sit and just say, well, God's just going to open up the right door at the right time. He will, but it's your job to move. Israel was given a promised land. They walked into their promised land. They took it piece by piece by piece. And there are moments that as they listened to the word of God, God said, I got this one. You relax. And there are other moments he said, now you get this one. It's all you. I'm with you. Go and be victorious. God speaks to you that very same way today. I think it's easy for us to be consumer Christians. We're just sitting here ready for God to Uber his divine will to us, right? But yet God is sitting here saying, no, I've created in you the ability to have a plan, to be empowered, to be inspired, and then to go and conquer. I encourage you, meditate on the word so that you will be successful in your conquering.
Amen.
Allow his word to be secured in you. Know his ways, not just his acts. I'm going to close with this. I promised the worship team something so that we could get them in Popeye's drive-thru. At the end of Joshua, Joshua does not kick everybody out of the promised land. I used to read this and think, that's a little bit of a failure, right? I mean, that's what they were told to do. Instead, what happens, Joshua gets older and he realizes, well, I don't want to travel anymore, you know? And Joshua tells the people, I'm dividing up your land. Continue what you have learned. It's your time to go and to chase out the remnant that is left. See, the invitation was, God invited Joshua, hey, if you'll do these things, you're going to have the same interaction with me that Moses had. I am with you, so be strong and courageous. Don't be fearful. But exercise the relationship that he had with me, and watch what I'm going to do with you. So what did Joshua do? He brings everybody together. He says, now guess what? I need you to exercise the relationship that you have seen me and Moses do. You take that into your home and you do it. You take that into your territory and you do it. And when the issues, the anger, the frustration, the lack, the attacks, the old self rises up, what do? You practice these things. You meditate on the word. Don't turn to the right or left. Stay true to what God has said to do. Seek him, his word first. Get direction on how to attack and then move forward and be successful. Take what's yours. He invites them to go home. Joshua passes away. And that's usually the end of the book of Joshua. We stop there. But if you go to Judges chapter 3, I'm going to close with this. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them, that is, all who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war who had not experienced it formerly. So, verse 4, and they were for testing Israel to find out if they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers through Moses. I am convinced that as we move forward in life and we deal with things that we feel like that we should have overcome, or where's God, why hasn't he, it's all invitations for us to know the ways of God, not the acts of God. See, Israel understood the acts, the people, the generations that followed. They knew the acts of the Lord. So what happened after they made poor decisions? What did they do? They cried out and repented. And God, being a very, very amazing Father, responded and pulled them out of. He did an act to pull them out of the despair that they were in. But then what happened? People did good for a period of time and then went right back into it, didn't they? I think it's because they only knew the acts of God, not the ways. God allowed there to continue to be a presence of antagonization in their world, in their land, because it was a call for them to mature into a place that would just not know the acts but the ways of God. It was a call for them to learn how to meditate on his word. It was a call for them to not turn from the right or to the left, but to believe the word of God in their life. My question then becomes to myself and to all of us today is, how many times do we find ourselves in that same position? where all of a sudden we start getting antagonized by something. We find ourselves in a moment of a failure, emotional, moral, mental. And we think, I just need the act of God to come rescue me. And God shows up and he does. And then we do good for a period of time. And then all of a sudden, what happens again? Find ourselves in the same cycle, right? You want to break that cycle today? It's time to know the ways of God, not just the acts of God. It's a call to maturity. It's a call to say it's time to meditate. It's time to know. It's time to take the word of God and do not let that depart from your lips. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Stay true. Stay focused. And let the word of God become a lion's roar inside of you. And let the peace of him create a sweet song in your spirit. But this is possible. Knowing the ways of God is possible by meditation on his word. Soaking it in. Letting his reality become your reality. Letting his thinking invade your thinking. Letting his ways become your ways. So as we close, are you a ways or an acts person? Our heads want to say, I'm a ways. But truly in your heart, there are many times that I see kind of a dual-edged sword in my life. I see where I act in the ways, like, oh yeah, because I trust the character of God. And then the very next situation that comes up, I'm totally acts. Okay, God, you got to move. You got to do. I got to see. God is inviting, I believe, his church to trust his character once again. We live in a crazy world. And we all probably have, at some point in time, are praying for God's Spirit just to come in and revolutionize and change and to blow through. But before the mighty wind starts to roar, the dove has to coo. Meaning a nice, slight breeze has to come in and begin to cool off. I want to encourage you to begin to pray the ways of God into your life, into my life, into your family's life, and into this world. The acts of God create a change that has a beginning and an end. The ways of God act and change for an eternity. Moses, Joshua, Jesus, they knew the ways of God. Most of the prophets saw the ways of God. And we read about them, David even. There's something that connects in us because there's just something that they had. And that's available to you. It's available to me. And it starts, I believe, with meditation of Scripture. I invite you to ask God this today. Say, God, what is the Scripture you want me to meditate on? And I encourage you to take 2 minutes out of your day. 2 minutes. And I want you to take that scripture, you open it up, and chances are God's not going to give you a chapter, okay? He's going to give you a phrase. You open that up, and you read it, and you just say, you know what? This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, and that's it. So for 2 minutes, you say that over and over and over and over and over again. Watch what happens to you. Just thinking about it, I start getting the, whoo, come on, Lord. But I'm serious. Watch what happens to you. 2 minutes every day this week. That's the invitation to meditation on the Scripture. Watch your spirit rise up like a lion. And watch your spirit get soft and quaint. I encourage you once again. Let's step into the ways of God. Let's be a people that knows his ways. Because then everything else in this chaotic scene that we're in of a world, we can take a deep breath because we're the people of peace. Are we supposed to be riled up? No. Because we know the ways of God. We're a people of peace. Because it doesn't matter how bad it looks, we're successful in and out. And I don't know about you, but I like playing the long game and not the short game. I'm playing the game of eternity. That's my investment. It doesn't matter what things look like right now. But let's be reminded in the ways of God. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you right now. We thank you for this time together. We thank you, God, that you remind us in subtle ways that you have a purpose and a plan, but that you are inviting us to know who you are. Scripture is not our story with you, but Scripture is your story to us. It is your invitation coming down, trying for us to know the fullness of your character. And that's why you are called a good father who loves his children. Psalms 103 goes through and talks about the goodness of you in act and word. I pray, God, that we allow ourselves to be challenged to know your ways and not just be so short-sighted that we just need to see an action at this moment. Develop in us the maturity of patience. Create in us a hunger to meditate on your scripture. Not just read, not just memorize, but to let it seep deep into the spirit and soul of who we are. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking time to tune in and listen to the message today through Freedom Online. We would love the opportunity to meet you personally anytime that you're in our area. But if today you heard something that really connected or that maybe you've got questions about, you'd like to talk with somebody or have someone pray with you, we'd love to hear back from you. You can reach us in a couple of different ways. You'll find on the website a contacts link. You can contact me or any member of our leadership directly, or you can call us at the number that you see on the website or at the bottom of the screen now. Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope that you have a great week.